It's time for NZ On Air Music Presents Rewind.
And this week, Lucia is back and she's talking to Shane Carter from Straight Jacket Fits for the Rewind segment. Here it is.
Straight Jacket Fits formed in the early 1980s. What was the process of forming the band like?
It was sort of more towards the mid-1980s, I think, or the late... Oh, God, who remembers? It's so long ago. The process of forming the band was John Colley, the drummer, and I were in a band before that called the Double Happies, which ended when the third member of the band died, actually. That particular incident galvanised John and I, and we wanted to continue playing music, so we formed Straight Jackets with David Wood, the bass player, and then we gigged around as a three-piece for about 6 months and thought we wanted another dimension to the sound, so we brought in Andrew Brough, who was another guitar player and another singer and another songwriter.
Your first EP in 1987 with Straight Jacket Fits hold a spot on the New Zealand Top 20 for 10 weeks. What was that like?
I guess it was pretty good, yeah. I suppose it was nice that people were buying our record and enjoying it when we didn't really have any of the traditional support that you usually need for top 20 records in New Zealand back in those days anyway, which was being played by commercial radio, which we were never played by at any point in our career. And that was the way to pretty much get across to people at that point. You know, the environment was a lot different to how it was these days. You know, there was, in those days, there was one TV video show that played music for 1 hour a week, and that was Radio for Pictures. And so apart from that, that was pretty much the one vessel for carrying new music. And there's no, when we started, I don't even think student radio was going. So yeah, you know, it was good that people were going out and buying the records pretty much on word of mouth.
Yeah, it's really cool. After that, with releasing your first album, Hail, you seem to be relatively disappointed in that, yet you had a great response from listeners. What was it that you seemed disappointed about?
Well, our first EP was a really strong record. That had quite a few of our famous songs, like She Speeds and Dialing a Prayer on it. And they were, that and our album were pretty much from the first set that we wrote. And yeah, I don't know. I think we kind of felt like we used up a lot of our good songs on the EP. And yeah, the album was a lot harder to make, and albums are huge undertakings, really. And I don't know, we're also our own harshest critics, so we're probably unreliable narrators as far as criticism was concerned as well.
In 1989, you signed with Arista Records, but the dynamic didn't quite work. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, Arista were a big label in America, and they had a lot of middle-of-the-road artists and people like Whitney Houston and all that kind of stuff. So they were really good at selling millions of Whitney Houston records, but they weren't so good at selling records by this raggle-taggle bunch from Dunedin. So it was kind of a clash of mentalities, really. And, you know, we'd come from quite a staunch indie background in Dunedin, and they were a very commercial label, so just sort of a clash of mentalities, really. They didn't quite understand us, and conversely, we didn't quite understand them either. You know, so they gave it a fair shake, but I think pretty much our band was a little bit too weird for them and didn't sort of operate in the mainstream context that they were experts at working in, yeah.
You changed your sound with the album Blow in 1993, which was recorded in LA. What was the process of evolving your sound like, and how was recording in the US?
Well, Blow is the record we made after Andrew Brough left the band, and he left the band after our second album. And as much as I'm loath to admit it, Andrew was quite a major part of the sound, and that he brought the sort of more melodic sort of aspect to the band. And we also, at that point, I don't know, we were sort of going down a rockier kind of path, and by that I mean rock music, a rocker kind of path. And yeah, I don't know, that third album, so I think half of it's quite good and half of it kind of sucks, but there we go, you can't be brilliant all the time now, can you? Recording in America, you know, it was it's all right. We, you know, it was good to record in decent studios, and you know, we brought in producers and all that kind of stuff, but you know, at the same time, bands like the 3Ds were making records that, to my ears, sounded just as good as ours, and they were making it, you know, for about a 50th of the cost. So, but, you know, once again, there was also different days too, where labels would throw a shitload of money at records. Like, you know, vast sums that had little to do, little relevance to real life. And but that's the way the music industry operated then. And, you know, major labels would punt big to win big. And if they didn't win big, well, there's always other artists like Whitney Houston that would win big for them.
You disbanded in 1994. Why was it that you decided to stop?
It was, you know, the band had been going for 8 years or something. I don't know, like bands are like, I've said it before, they're like relationships or living situations, you know, just sometimes there's a time to make a change. When you play with a certain group of people, you establish a certain kind of dynamic and certain parameters, and I don't know. The band, I just wanted to do something different, and the band was quite rocky and quite a sonic, loud band, and I'd actually kind of got sick of that chess beating music, and I wanted to do something a bit quieter and a bit slyer, and that's when I moved on into Dimmer.
You went out with a bang, though, playing at the Big Day Out alongside Soundgarden and the Smashing Pumpkins. How was this?
Yeah, that was a good Big Day Out to be on. People like Bjork were on it, and the Ramones, and those bands that you spoke about, and so that was cool, and it was cool, you know, you get to play the stadiums around Australasia and blah, 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 and our sound was quite a big sound, so we actually quite suited those bigger venues, and yeah, I got to say one of my best lines, which was standing on stage in front of in Sydney and saying, oh, look, it's every New Zealander's nightmare, 25,000 Australians, and there's a sea of silence. And then I just heard one guy sort of out of in my right ear go, oh, yeah, wanker. So, yeah, that was a golden moment in rock.
Well, now I'm going to play one of your songs, probably She Speeds. I quite like that one.
Yeah, good on you, yeah.
Cool.
So now we'll play She Speeds by the Straitjacket Fit. Thank you.
That was Rewind, presented by NZ On Air Music.